and welcome to River Writers, a production of the Writers Guild of Astoria, a 501c3 nonprofit supporting writers and the literary arts in Astoria and the Lower Columbia region. I'm your host, Marianne Monson. Aired the second Monday of each month at 9 a.m., River Writers provides a chance to peek behind the curtain at the craft of writing. We talk about what motivates writers to do the work they do and ask them what they have learned through their creative process. I'm thrilled to have in the studio with me today local student, author, and editor Asher Finch. If you've spent any time in the literary community here on the North Coast, you probably don't need any introduction to Asher. Welcome to the studio today, Asher.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thrilled to be able to sit down with you before you take off for some really exciting adventures that we are going to get into.
Grand departure to Corvallis.
Yep. All right. So I want to actually start with your involvement with the Writers Guild, since that's how you and I first connected. Can you tell our listeners about, I guess it's like 5 years or something like that, five, six?
5 years, yeah.
Tell us about that.
So 5 years ago, I had just recently moved to Astoria. Wasn't sure where I fit here. I came from a much larger city, Spokane, Washington. Moving here, I didn't have a community or a direction or anywhere to go. And I was in my junior year English class, and there was a long-term substitute who was connected with the guild, Andrew Zing, who was like, hey, we have Kim Stafford coming into the school. There's very limited seating for the students who can be there, but I think you should be there. So I went to this workshop at the high school. It was Astoria and Napa High School, both had students there. It's when I first met you, was there with Kim Stafford. And I'm like, oh, maybe these are my people. And I went to the Verslandia event with the high school, and from there just started doing everything I could to connect with writers and readers, got a job at a bookstore, and then started the poetry group at the high school for my senior project, partnering with you and Andrew, I think at the time was on that too, and just bringing together all of the literary connections I could. I got to read at the literary ball that year back in 2019, which was my first like public performance of my writing, and it's just been like a braided part of who I am ever since then.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. I love that shout out to Andrew Zing, who's left Astoria, and I believe he's in San Francisco now, but did so much for us here in the community and students. And yeah, that project with Kim Stafford was really one of the Writers Guild's early projects, and it was a partnership with Forest Visions, and they were the main ones who brought him, but we helped to kind of connect in with some of the local literary, and we had an event up at the college too. But yeah, it makes me so happy that, you know, that event inspired you the way that it did and helped you to feel a sense of community. And Kim himself is just such an incredibly generous teacher, you know. That's something that really stood out to me. I was excited to attend that workshop as a writer and just sat there thinking about how much I learned from him as a presenter and as a teacher, because he just has a way of drawing students in and connecting.
Yeah. I think it's really a beautiful skill for somebody to have, to not only be able to write and present themselves that way, but to connect with students and high schoolers, they're kids still, and being able to carry the kindness that you do in your work to them is really, it's part of what drew me in, is it needed to be that kind, supporting space. And that's what not only that workshop, you know, the guild in general has provided.
I'm so glad. That makes me so happy. And yes, that public performance of yours at the first or the second literary ball that we held at Riverseat Gallery. And you made just the most incredible outfit for that. It was basically made out of book pages.
Yeah, so I took my three favorite books from middle school, which is when I really started writing, was in middle school. So I got used copies of each of them. It was Twilight, The Fault in Our Stars, and The Hunger Games. And I turned them into a, I actually hand sewed them into a skirt, like tutu,
mm-hmm.
and made the fairy wings to go with it. Mm-hmm. And I was the literary fairy.
Beautiful. I actually don't think I ever knew which books those were. When my son was in high school, we read The Fault in Our Stars together, and I love that book so much.
It's so good. John Green, I really, like, I, young adult is my probably guilty pleasure with reading, but his nonfiction, The Anthropocene Reviewed,
mm-hmm.
is one of my favorite books right now.
I've not read that one of his.
I think you have to.
I sounds like I do. Probably better go to Godfather's and pick up a copy and see if I can find a nice seller to sell it to me.
We just got it in paperback.
So you work at Godfather's too, which is a great place for a writer to hang out.
I first got the job there back in 2019,
mm-hmm.
About the same time I was getting connected with the guild.
Mm-hmm.
I love that bookstore so much. I left for a couple years. But even when I wasn't working there, I was in at least 2 or 3 times a week. Those have always kind of been my people in my community. And I'm wonderful. Really glad to be there through the end of my current stint in Astoria. My plan's always to come back.
Yes, I love that. The current stint in Astoria. Yep. This is a place that hooks you and you can leave it, but you don't ever leave it very far behind in your heart, I don't think. No. So, Godfather's. Yeah, I love how that bookstore just smells like books, you know?
Yes.
Well, like a bookstore should.
The books and the coffee, I think, is a really perfect pairing.
Right?
There is no better way to spend a rainy afternoon than at the bookstore counter with, like, a fresh latte.
Yep, it's so true. Books and coffee and North Coast rain. What else do you need in life, right?
Fully agree.
Okay, well, so since then, so you helped us start a creative writing. Well, it was like, it was a creative writing club at Astoria High School, part of your senior project. Mm-hmm. And then the students were creating work during those sessions, and then they were sharing them at the AHS.
At the open mics,
right?
Yeah. We'd go and perform them at the open mics that were happening.
And this was all, unfortunately, pre-COVID. COVID sort of killed all of those things.
Which is so unfortunate. That those open mics were so cool.
Yeah, they were amazing.
It really felt like a whole event of itself.
Mm-hmm. And even, like, the principal would get up and participate, right? And
yeah. I think one year we had a teacher play his guitar at one.
Probably Andrew Zing. I know he performed in a few of them.
Yeah.
We're going to have to text him the link to this episode.
We absolutely will.
Hello from Astoria, Andrew. So you've just, since those early days, have contributed so many things in so many different ways, and most recently have been involved with the Writers Guild as our very first intern.
Which has been a really cool opportunity, and I am so glad it was me. Like, I'm glad the program exists. I'm glad there is an intern, but I'm also really glad that it could be me.
We are so glad it was you too. It was just completely fitting and perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, shout out to Logan Garner and Northwest Works.
Northwest this? Oregon Works. Oh, I think.
thank you Northwest Oregon Works, yeah, who has made the internship program at the Writers Guild possible, and a lot of student internships throughout our community possible. So yeah, no, we're thrilled to have you. You've done so much amazing work for us, and I should mention too, have been a really integral part of helping to plan our creative writing festival coming up in October,
which is going to be amazing. I will be driving back up for it.
Yay! We get the guest visit from Asher for the October Creative Writing Festival with Carl Marlantes, October 18th through 20th, we should mention. So, yeah. So thank you for all your wonderful work on that. So many different ways that you've been involved. I also would love for you to talk a little bit about the role that Clatsop Community College has played in your writing journey and education.
I owe so much of where I'm at to Clatsop Community College. This last year, as far as my writing goes, I got to serve as editor-in-chief of Rain Magazine there,
mm-hmm.
which was so much fun, and I learned so much. And I've been saying a lot lately, even the parts that weren't as fun still taught me more than probably the parts that were fun did. But the opportunities I got from that, getting to go to Port Angeles and present at the Raymond Carver Tess Gallagher Festival there, wouldn't have been possible without Clatsop Community College, without the support of the instructors and faculty there. And Kama O'Connor, who's also a part of the guild, has been such an amazing, like, personal mentor for my writing. I took her full series of creative writing classes this year and learned so much and grew so much as a writer through them.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I love that college so much.
It's a really wonderful place. And yeah, between Julie Brown and Cam O'Connor and some adjuncts, you have a wonderful host of writing faculty. But I'm so glad that you've gotten to take advantage of it and have had such a positive experience there. And for listeners who don't know, tell us a little bit about Rain Magazine.
So Rain Magazine is the annual literary publication that's put out by the college, where we take submissions in writing, prose, poetry, fiction, nonfiction, short stories, from all around our community, students and community members. And I think we've had some international submissions in the last couple years too, which are really cool.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think last year we had a couple pieces from France, I want to say.
Wow.
And then this year we had a photographer who I believe is based in Ireland who submitted.
Oh, so cool.
It just has to resonate with the editing staff.
Okay.
It's not very often that we get submissions outside of our community.
Yeah.
So if it's something that, I mean, we don't always know where it's coming from when we're reading it. We don't do blind submissions, or we haven't in the past. But that doesn't also mean that we're going to go look into every single person who's submitting to see where they're from. Sometimes it's an afterthought that we're like, oh, this is a really cool piece of writing, but oh, they're based in France.
That's amazing. I'd love to know how they even heard about it, you know?
I'm assuming it's just through other random connections in the community.
Maybe so.
Maybe a friend has a friend who told them, so they sent an email.
Yeah. You know, one time I was in the Barcelona, Spain airport, and I saw a Spanish man, and he was wheeling his little carry-on through the airport, and it had a bumper sticker on it that said Astoria, Oregon.
I love that.
And so I went up to him and asked him in Spanish, like, how I'm from there, you know? And it turns out he had visited this beautiful town and had that on his luggage. So
it's an amazing connection.
Yeah, it is.
I love how the world, it's so small. Like, it's so huge, but we're all right there together and it's so small.
That's right. Yep. It's a beautiful spot and people from all around the globe know. And apparently people in France know about Rain Magazine. So did you have editorial experience when you signed up for the class that produces Rain Magazine?
Only from the year before. So okay. I took Rain 2 years in a row. It's offered as two classes for students to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Writing 270 and then writing 271 for the advanced version. But that was the only editorial experience I had. So the first year of Rain really led the groundwork, and then as the only repeat student, I was able to then lead the next class in it.
Wonderful. That sounds like a great, you know, opportunity to step into leadership. So I think, you know, but I also come from an editorial background. I was an English major. And then right out of college, my first job was at a publishing house in Portland.
I did not know
that. I started there as an intern, actually an unpaid intern, I'd like to say. But then they hired me and I eventually became their managing editor. And we mostly did children's books. So I also was an aspiring writer who felt like it would be good to, you know, learn about the publishing world and spent, I guess, 4 or 5 years in publishing. I would have spent longer, honestly, but my kids were born and it was really hard to balance both those things. So I transitioned to teaching. But I'm curious what you think about the way that like learning the skills that are required of an editor, like how did that impact you as a writer?
I think learning how to edit, because I started my first year of Rain was before I really started committing to my writing the way I am now. Learning an editorial process, what goes into those decisions, really helped shape the way that I put my writing into the world mm-hmm. and the things I think about as I'm developing new pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's no longer just what me and an audience, I think, would want to see.
Yeah.
But you have to get through that middleman.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that I'm structuring pieces, the depth that I go through and line edit my own work has gone tenfold since I learned to edit.
Mm-hmm.
And I gained a really intense care and respect for the way that I view other people's work,
mm-hmm.
and in turn have had to learn that same care and respect for my own work. We are our own worst critics.
So true.
But if I'm willing to and wanting to have that kindness for somebody else's work, if I'm wanting somebody else to treat my work with that kindness, mm-hmm. I need to treat my work with that kindness.
Beautiful. I love that. It's so true that we're often harshest on ourselves as writers. And I think you articulated that so brilliantly. And I would say that's so similar to what I gained from my time as an editor too. You know, I think there's all these layers of our writing. And at the most basic level, our writing is for us. Like, it's a deeply personal thing. And a lot of our writing may remain there. You know, it's like the iceberg with parts of it that are submerged. I think all of us who are writers have at least some portion of our work that is just purely for ourselves, you know?
Absolutely.
And then the second layer is, do I want to share this with an audience? And if so, who? And how do I allow that audience to influence the way I'm going to revise a piece of writing to resonate with them as like communication, right?
Yes.
But then when you're talking about publications specifically, there's this third layer, which is essentially, how am I taking this conversation and this interaction with the audience, and how am I creating a marketable product out of that, you know?
Yes.
Which sounds, I mean, I don't know, like can get into like, you're selling your soul, you're selling your art, you know, but that's also the reality if you want it to find an audience in that way. And totally fine if you don't want it to. But if you want to, you need to be aware of how to do that.
And I'm someone who I'm as I'm learning and developing my writing style, like, I love writing creative nonfiction, which is mm-hmm. deeply personal
mm-hmm.
and vulnerable. And mm-hmm. I really struggle with the idea of who gives me the authority to publish those works.
Yeah.
Who gives me the... I have a sticky note on my laptop that just says authority to with an ellipses after it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm always struggling with that idea of it is deeply personal, and you do need to, when I'm writing for myself, it's just for myself, but when I want to publish it, when I think this is a work I believe people could connect with,
mm-hmm.
who is giving me the authority to be the one to share those words? And I think when you run into publication, yes, it is the publicating body that gives you that authority, but you need to find it to publish it.
So
in
true.
Yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that's all like inextricably tied in with audience, self, and publishing.
Absolutely. So beautifully expressed, Asher. Thank you. For those of you who are just joining us, this is Marianne Monson for KMUN's River Writers, sponsored by the Writers Guild. This morning I'm speaking with Astoria author and student Asher Finch. So I do want to talk about your own work. Tell us a little bit about the genres that you write.
Yeah, so as I am developing my style, I'm writing a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've mostly focused on creative nonfiction, but in the last couple months, I've been like, maybe that's not where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I've always written poetry since I was like able to put pen on paper. I have a really vivid memory of in like second grade handwriting a bunch of poems on a like piece of printer paper in spare time on class and stapling it together and making half my class read it. And then having the older students in the class spell check it. But I wouldn't rewrite it. I'd just cross out the words and hope for the best. And so that's still something that I'm really passionate about is poetry.
Mm-hmm.
But short fiction, like a page or less, has been really something I'm getting really invested to, microfiction. I think it's a really interesting study to see how you can make a complete story start to finish in 500 words.
Yeah, or fewer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's like that Hemingway 6-word short story. Are you familiar with that? It's like baby shoes for sale, never worn.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like the world's saddest short story in 6 words.
Yeah.
I was taught that for the first time, I think, in 5th grade or so.
Yeah. So do you have a sample of your work that you'd like to read for us?
I have... Yeah, it's one of those microfictions.
Okay.
Which is, I think fiction is so fascinating. I want to preface that this piece, I witnessed a scene at work and I'm like, it was like a 6-second interaction. A customer came in, looked at a shelf, turned around and left.
Uh-huh.
But something felt so off, I was compelled to write about it.
Okay.
Having no idea what the situation actually was.
Sure.
And I love being able to expand on, that's the personal piece of writing, of that taking the fiction, taking any piece of writing inspired from our daily lives. There's mm-hmm. always a piece of us in there.
Yes.
And that's what this is.
Great.
So it's called The Violet Beanie. Softly creaking, the door barely cracks as a young woman enters the bookstore. She hangs her head below her shoulders. A thick violet beanie replaces where her face should be, and greetings echo beneath its mass. Voices from the other patrons hum below a whisper, landing in the ears of their intended audience alone, before being consumed by the countless pages that line the walls. They are unaware of her entrance. They do not see how she flinches every time she moves forward. The short, slender woman in the thick violet beanie does not understand how little they see her. She cowers her head lower. If she continues any further, she will collapse under the weight of her perceived burdens. The woman's gaze doesn't lift from the floorboards in front of her, and eye contact is a luxury we will not be afforded. She steps softly, unheard in the mass of people who dance between the shelves. Orchestrated in their indulgence, choreographed in social ritual. 2 steps behind her, a tall man is caught in her shadow. He moves in sync with her faltering legs. She does not look at him. The tall man clears his throat each time her movement rests. She flinches, bringing her attention far enough into the room for us to notice the deep hues surrounding her eyes carrying down her cheek. I can't do this now. She flees the store in short breaths, blending back into the city center. Violet beanie bleeding into the grape-stained walls that line the painted door and blur into the crisp hailstorm that will not end tonight.
I like to do the little snaps on the radio. That's lovely. Thank you. This is such a great example of how you can take a little snippet of real life and then use your imagination and all your writerly skills and transform it into something else.
Yeah. And it's a sliver. It was like a 6 to 10 second interaction. And
mm-hmm.
those are my favorite to, I don't know, paint in words.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I really like short fiction. I like long fiction, too. I'm notorious for, you know, loving 1,000-page novels like Anna Karenina. But short fiction offers, you know, just a little glimpse into a world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so there's something immediate and connected to poetry in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World building and experiential writing is probably my favorite part of writing.
Uh-huh.
I don't write fantasy or anything like that, but I used to play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons.
Uh-huh.
And in high school I actually taught a class about world building because I would do all of my worlds and games from scratch. It's called mm-hmm. homebrew in the community.
Mm.
But I was given a student teaching opportunity back in Spokane where for a full year I got to teach that world building.
Wow.
How do you create something somebody can experience?
Yeah.
And I had a partner teacher in the class who was another student who was writing a fantasy novel. And so they had that perspective, and I had the playable, interactive perspective. And that's always carried through in all of my work.
That sounds like a wonderful training ground for a writer.
It was so much fun.
That sounds great. You know, it's funny. My kids play Dungeons and Dragons. I never have, but I think I would have loved it.
I don't know why it's too late.
Well, yeah, that's true. Thank you, Asher. I can still go start playing Dungeons and Dragons tomorrow.
I think you should. It is such an creative, imaginative, I would call it an indulgence, because you are like submerging yourself into another character that you're having to act as, but you can't just make those decisions. You have to rely on the unpredictability of the dungeon master and your dice and your fellow players. I don't know. I think it's a lot more fun than the half-hearted reputation it gets.
Well, it sounds like collaborative storytelling, essentially, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and world building. And yeah, that sounds like something writers would really enjoy. That's great. So I want to briefly give you a chance to tell our listeners what's next for you, because congratulations are in order for a lot of different reasons. You recently graduated from Clatsop Community College and you got accepted to a creative writing program
at Oregon State University.
Tell us about that.
So I will be going down this fall to finish my bachelor's in arts at Oregon State University. I was also really fortunate. I got a 90% full ride scholarship for that through the Ford Family Foundation.
Amazing.
Which is still unbelievable to me.
That's a very competitive scholarship,
It is.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. So I'll be going to OSU for their Bachelor's of Arts in Creative Writing. Hopefully I'll be focusing on poetry and nonfiction. You have to pick two specialties for the bachelor's.
Great.
So those are the two that I want to pull from. And then I'm still debating after that. I either want to do an MFA or a PhD. I would do an MFA in nonfiction or PhD in English literature.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure which route I'm going to go from there.
Well, you've got wonderful options ahead of you.
I do. I'm really excited. And then I'm really hoping to get involved with the literary magazine down at Oregon State.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and your background and range should really set you up for that.
That's what I'm
hoping. You've already got a very impressive resume for a college junior. Essentially, you'll go in as. So, Asher, what advice do you have for young aspiring writers?
Building connections, getting to know the people around you. There are writers everywhere. Find them. Because having more people in your life to support you can only better where you're at, and being able to gain that support and give that support. There is a reciprocity of support that is so important to writing.
So true. Well, Asher, your community is behind you all of the way, and we are so excited to see the beautiful things you do in this world. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So thank you also, listeners, for joining us on River Writers. And the Writers Guild of Astoria is a 501c3 nonprofit promoting the literary arts and serving writers in the Lower Columbia region. You can learn more at thewritersguild.org. Until next time, keep the words flowing and your pencil sharp. I'm Marianne Monson for River Writers.